Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Play your life, play your life.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light podcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are so excited that you have tuned in tonight. What an awesome day in the Lord. I'm telling you, God is so good and his mercy endureth forever. Grace and peace be unto you, my brothers and sisters. Amen. We thank God for just another day that God has spared our lives, given us grace. Amen. And we are thanking God for his protection all day long, his provision all day long, and we know that God is good. We are assistant pastors right now of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where our co-founder is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, our senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones, and we are located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, and you can find us online, comingtothelight.org. You can find us on YouTube at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. We have services every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. is our worship service. We have Sunday school at 9 a.m., and we have Bible study on noonday on Wednesday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. You can come and check us out in person, or you can dial the same number at 12 noon during the day. We are in the book of Acts. As a matter of fact, we're in the last chapter of the book of Acts. Oh, my God, you don't want to miss this teaching, and we want to hear what you have to say concerning these ordeal and circumstances that Paul is allowing the Holy Ghost to work with him and through him. Today we had, amen, we at Light of the World are deciding that we are going to see a world without darkness, which is our mandate on our church. We're going to see this world without darkness, and how we do it, we see it one soul at a time. And I'm here to report that today, at the evangelism that we have five different captains. Sam Hubbard is captain for Decatur, Georgia. And I'm telling you, today they did an awesome job.
Yes.
We had a great time.
And
two souls came to the kingdom today. Hallelujah.
Lord.
Two souls were saved. Amen. Many people were restored. And I'm telling you, people want to come to church. Amen, because they've been home and they want to go to church. So we thank God for everything that he's doing. Thank God for that evangelism team that went out today, Nettie Baker, Ella Irvin, Sister Denise Maxwell, don't forget Sam Hubbard. We have I'm forgetting names right now,
yes.
But we thank and praise God for those who came out, and we had an awesome time, and we were able to combine our outreach, our evangelism event with one of the tenants in the complex who was celebrating her son's birthday. And so we were able to combine that, and we had a good time. They had the bouncy house. They had basketball contest. We had a lot of gifts for them. We had good food. Oh, my God. Elder Kevin Guillory throw down on those hot dogs and hamburgers. Amen.
Yeah.
I tell you, we thoroughly enjoyed it. It was so good.
Yeah.
Amen. We thank God for Kiana Kidd is the other person who came and helped out. And we had some great workers. I mean, everybody came to work, and we did just that. And we thank God for everything that happened today and for those two souls that are now in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So our assignment, amen, to see a world without darkness, one soul at a time.
Yes.
And we had two today. So we thank and praise God for everything that happened on today. And we have a man of God tonight who's going to deliver a word. So if you need a word, if you need a word tonight, you are in the right place at the right time. And we have a song request that we're going to play before he comes. And after next voice you would hear after he does, after this song, would be Minister Joseph Jones.
Couldn't do it on my own.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Just wanted to say, if you heard the words of that song by Tamla Mann, it's called Help Me. And I don't know what any type of situation you might be in or have needed some help, but there is someone you can call on, and that is Jesus. I'd just like to say good evening to everyone out there tonight. We thank God for this evening and this broadcast. That the Bellfields has been obedient to God to allow God to use them to go forth and use the airways and the radio and the internet to reach people that we might not can't reach by hand or by phone. But we thank God tonight for, again, for the Butterfields and all those who are listening tonight. We thank God for this word that's coming forth, and I know it came from God. The confirmation has came at least twice to me as this word was being prepared to speak on tonight. So tonight I want you to go to your Bible in 1 Samuel, the chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. This is probably very familiar to you, and it's about Samuel, but it's about us also. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll move forward in the word. And the Bible reads in the King James Version, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious." The word precious means rare in those days, and there was no open vision. "And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he would not see. And the air of the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me? And he said, I callest not. Lie down again. And when he lay down, the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lay down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord said, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for there didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if thou call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant hear. So Samuel went and lay down, down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant hears. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to speak your word. Lord, I ask you to use me in a mighty way, God. I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing in my life. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the people's lives. Lord, I ask you to keep us and strengthen us. Lord, use us in a mighty way, God, that you will get all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Lord, we ask you to give a special prayer to those who are listening tonight, Lord, who took time out to hear your word. And Lord, we give you the praise because we know without you, we're nothing. Lord, use me, Lord, as this lips of clay, Lord, and Father, speak through me through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that the word will go forth and that you again will get all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'd like to use for a subject tonight, one call, that's all. One call, that's all. There's a lawyer in Atlanta by the name of Ken Nugent, and his slogan is, one call, that's all. Those who live in Georgia has seen this commercial many times before, and this means his law firm can handle any legal matters you may have, and all you need to do is make one call, and that's all. Ken Nugent is promoting his business as a one-stop shop for all your attorney needs because he's very confident in his training education, and previous trial experience. Whether it's a car accident or a malpractice lawsuit or a slip and fall, Ken Nugent says, one call, that's all. But when it comes to true believers and the Christians, we too have someone we can call on as a warrior who never lost a battle, a doctor who never lost a patient, and an advocate who never lost a case. And that person is Jesus. Anthony Brown wrote a song called Help is on the Way. And if you can call on the name of Jesus, he would answer your call. Jesus is never too busy, too sleepy, or too tired to see about his children. Jesus is saying to his people, one call, that's all. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we would know that if we need help, you can call and make one phone call and know, as Tamela Mann would say, help is on the way. See, in the natural, when a woman or a mother has children, she knows her child's cry, and it doesn't make a difference if there's 20 or 30 people in that same area or present. A mother knows her baby's cry, and immediately she will come running to her children's rescue. Aren't you glad Jesus knows your name and your voice? He is sitting at the right hand of God, waiting on us to call on him. He genuinely wants to deliver us out of all our pain and our trouble. There's a song called Call on the Name of Jesus, written by Darwin Hodge. And the lyric says, call that name of Jesus. He's our healer. Call that name of Jesus. He's our provider. Call on the name of Jesus. He is our protector. Call that name of Jesus. He's our deliverer. In other words, the song is just really saying to us, if you need anything, just call on the name of Jesus, because there is power in that name. I need you to know and understand that I want to show you some proof today, because I don't want you just to take my word for it, but just remember when he was sinking in the sea and he called on Jesus for help and Jesus delivered him from drowning. And you can find that in Matthew 14, verses 26-31. And let me give you another one. How about the centurion when he had a sick servant and he asked Jesus to heal him? You can find that in Matthew, the 8th chapter, verses 5-8. In both cases, we know who to call on for help, and that person is Jesus. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, watch this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's power in the name of Jesus. Romans 10:13 tells you real simply, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Matthew 1:21 says, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And I'll give you one more. John 14:13-14 says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in whose name, he said, my name, I will do. Again, I'll say there's power in the name, because all you have to do is make one call, and that's all. Let's go to the scriptures where we see Samuel was a young man, and the Bible says that he was lying down when he received the call from God, which brings me to my first point. Can you hear Jesus calling you? In verse 4, Samuel hears his name being called, but because he was still young and a babe in Christ, you might say, Samuel ran to the thing that he was most common or familiar to, himself. Please don't get caught up in the familiarity of believing you always know what's going on in the spirit, because we have to let God use us at all times. We can't get to the point that we are what you all might call a know-it-all. But I want you to understand that God moves in different ways, and he doesn't want us to set him in a box, thinking things were done a certain way before, so I'm looking for them to be done the same way again. See, See, then we find in verse in the verses where God calls Samuel three times. And each time Samuel went to Eli. And I must tell you, whenever you hear your name called, it doesn't have to be the right person calling you. Let me give you an example of that. Just because the little boys or the people at the office start a rumor at the office and call you hot and ready, like a little Caesar pizza, doesn't mean that you're really hot and ready. You know what I'm talking about. I don't have to break that down to you because everything that everybody says does not have to be true. And so we have to understand that really sometimes we have to understand that when people call you out your name just to see what you were answering to. But God calls us blessed. God calls us healed. God calls us the head and not the tail. God calls us the lender, and not the borrower. God calls us more than conquerors. I hope you're getting the message I'm trying to relate to you tonight, and that is if you call on God, and if God calls you, it only takes one call. That's all that would change your life forever. See, when Samuel came to Eli on the third time, God revealed to Eli that it was the Lord was calling Samuel and not himself. Yeah. See, we have to need to be around some folks who have spent some time with Jesus to know his voice when we can't discern the difference from ourselves. See, that's what's called spiritual maturity. As Christians, we can't continue to drink milk like a babe in Christ. We need some spiritual meat. And this is why spiritual maturity is so important to our everyday life. My former pastor said, you know your voice from God's voice. So who are you listening to? In other words, what I'm trying to explain to you is that if you're listening to God or yourself, see, when we listen to ourselves, you will say stuff like, who instructed you to marry that joker? You know who I'm talking about. And who told you to take that job to make you work every Sunday to miss church? And who told you that you don't have to live holy and you didn't have to read your Bible? Who told you those foolish things? It was either your flesh or the enemy who told you to do those unauthorized things. See, if you understand the word of God and you know God loves us and he does not do anything to hurt or harm us, you wouldn't understand what James, the first chapter, verses 1-5, has said. See, what he's saying there is that God said he loves us so much that he would not do anything to hurt us or to harm us. James 1:12-15 says, blessed is the man that endure temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. And then he says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when the lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. What I'm trying to say is that we know that God loves us so much. And if we just call on him, he will keep us out of trouble. And then the blessing of this is verse 17, because he gives us the instructions. He said, it will show you how to follow him at all costs. Because Jesus loves us so much, he again gives us the promise in verse 17. He said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variance, neither shadowing of turning. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God, our Father, who created all lights in heaven. This means God will never give you anything to hurt you at any time. Jesus will never tempt you to sin, but he will give us what we need to bless our lives. Therefore, listen for the voice of Jesus and not ourselves, and will keep us out of trouble. And then once Samuel received the instructions from Eli in verse 8, Samuel knew how he should answer the Lord, which brings me to my second point. what will your response be to the Lord? See, we have to learn how to hear from God. And once we hear from God, when he's calling us, we have to have the right response. See, we need to take a reference from the Bible and Nike. John, the second chapter, verses 2 and 5. Well, listen to what it says. When Jesus and his mother was invited to a wedding reception in Canaan, the Bible says, the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. And listen, watch what his mother says. His mother says in verse 5, she said, his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Well, somebody from Nike must have read the Bible, because they didn't want to get sued for copyright infringement. So the marketing team didn't want to use do it. They put just do it in front of it. And so either way you look at it, what we need to do is do what the Lord has called us to do. Because we got to understand that he knows better. He knows our end from our beginning. And he knows what's best for us at all times. But look at the response from Samuel when he replied to Eli, which was here. Every time Samuel went to Eli, all three times, he went to Eli and said, here am I. Now, this response might seem, kind of prideful or self-righteous to some. But in other words, if it does, it might sound like people will say, you do know who I am. I'm here, and what do you want? Even Samuel was a young man. People have that same mentality as we get older. Here am I. Or, I'm here, what you want? But in verse 9, the revelation came to Eli. And Eli told Samuel the correct way how to respond to God's voice by saying, speak, Lord, for your servant here. I want to give you a piece of important information tonight. How you respond to God's call makes a big difference in how you receive from him. See, when Samuel answered in a humble manner, God then revealed himself to Samuel. I need to tell some of you tonight, the reason why you can't receive from God is because we are too powerful. I'll just read James 4 and 10 when you get a chance, where God tells us that we must humble ourselves. And when we humble ourselves, he'll lift us up. And then my third point tonight will be, once you have heard the call of God, and secondly, we respond to him the proper way, the third thing will be, will you be obedient to the call? See, it's one thing to hear God call, and it's another thing to respond in the right manner. But a lot of times, we don't move when God has us to move. We are now obedient to the call. See, when Samuel heard his name being called, he was, watch this now, obedient to move at the call. I must admit to you, some of you tonight, this is why we miss out on our blessings, is that because we don't move or be obedient when God calls us to move. We'll move at the voice of man, but we'll tell God we need a sign from him to convince us it's him calling us to move. That we'll be just like Gideon, asking God to make it rain in our living room and make sure the carpet never gets wet, so we'll know it was him speaking to us. But guess what? If it's something that we want to do, we have no problem moving before God even says yes. See, please understand, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Why do we have a hard time to do what God calls us to do? And then when he does, we have to ask for a sign, or we have to ask for evidence. See, no. We have to understand that we know we're not perfect, and we know that we're not going to get it right every time, but we should be striving for to be in the vein of God, to be obedient to his call. See, a lot of times we have our own self our own mindsets to know that what we want to do. And again, if we have our mindset on it, we don't wait on God to give us the okay. We just move. But again, when God calls us to do something that we really don't like, or we don't have the backing of other people, and we don't have the approval of some people, we feel a little insecure about moving on God's word. But you got to understand, we must be careful, because there are several different types of calls in the world. And we don't want to get hung up on those calls, because they are man-made calls. They will have us call, they will give us prank calls. Y'all know y'all got some family members who love calling you on the phone and telling you some crazy stuff and trying to get you to move or make you laugh or scare you out of some money. And them prank calls will get us in trouble, because that's the world sets them up. And then I don't know about you, but I work from home every day, and I get these type of calls every day. I mean, three or four of them sales calls. I mean, they're trying to sell you everything from burial insurance, life insurance. One person called me and asked me, said, "Mr. Jones, we want to give you some Medicaid and Medicare." I said, they said, "How old are you?" I said, 110, because they're trying to get your money out of your pocket. And if you knew that, if you knew my phone number, I'm sure pretty sure you knew how old I was. And but see, they don't care, because it's a sale call. You know, they're just trying to make money. And then you have those 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock calls called booty calls. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. You get that phone call in the middle of the night, and they ask you that dumb question: "What are you doing?" "Fool, I'm sleeping. It's 2, 3 o'clock in the morning." And so what I'm saying is that we don't have to adhere to those type of calls, because the world will give us these type of calls for us to fall into it and get us caught up in the wrong situation. Then we get those calls to the office from our manager or HR, and we always feel like there's something wrong. I'm just showing you the difference between the call of the world, and then I'm going to show you the call of God. And I told someone when I was the manager at Greyhound running that station down there, I used to tell people, I said, just because I call you to the office doesn't mean it's a bad thing. I like to call people to the office and reward them for doing a good job. And we always get fearful or fretful when we call to the manager's office in HR. But when we're not doing anything and we're living right, we don't have to worry about it. And then we get that call we never want to get, that dreadful call, the call from the police or the coroner's office about a loved one. I don't know if y'all have had that happen to you before, but I know that's nothing that you really want to get a call from. And then lastly, we get a call of promotion. You know, we get that big break into the sports world. We get called up from the minor leagues to the major leagues in baseball, and, you know, from the D-League to the NBA. And we get those calls, and we just like them, because we look for those calls naturally. But spiritually, there are some calls that can change your life and change your name. Like from Abram to Abraham, and to Saul to Paul. We get those calls from God, the call of leadership, as Gideon was called in Judges, the 6th chapter, verses 11 through 16, to lead the army. And look at Moses. He was called to leadership in Exodus 3, 2 through verse 10, to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. And God called 12 men to become his disciples. In Matthew 10, 1 through 4. There are different calls in the world, and different calls in Christ. And there are calls on your life, and I believe there's calls in your life. And the calls in your life could be calls of repentance. If you go to 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, God calls for the people to repent and come back to him and pray, and he will heal the land. And then the call of salvation, when Jesus touched your heart and you give it to him. And you can find that in Romans 10, 8 and 10. And then the final call, when Jesus said, it's time to come home to be with him. You know, one guy, I think he was really trying to be funny, but he was really telling the truth, and he didn't even know what he was saying. He was calling himself picking at me, and we was talking about death, and he said, I thought Christians were supposed to be happier to die than to live. And that thing kind of bothered me, because the way he came at me, and he was supposed to be my supervisor, you know, and I was saying, yeah, I understand what the Bible says. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. And we know we have to have that final call, but we don't have to be afraid of it because God has already prepared a place for us to live. But he was trying to be funny because I think I had to go to a funeral, and he was trying to pick at me like, you know, why are you so – it's the loved one. It was somebody from my church, and I'm about to forget if I remember correctly. And so I was trying to not be so to a point where I won't go off on him, but still show kind of love. But see, a lot of people will want to get you out of your comfort zone and put you in a certain place where you are not acting like of God, so they can call you a fool. So there are calls on your life, and there's calls in the world also. And the calls on your life could be a call of clarification, where God reveals to you the clarity of his word, and the call of fulfillment when God brings evidence into existence to be seen. These are the calls on your life, and the call of elevation when you are elevated to a deacon or to a preacher or to a pastor. You can look at Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, and Luke 4, 18 and 19. Those calls on your life, because God set them up in a certain way that he would get the glory out of your life, and you would give him the honor and praise because what he's done for you. Lastly, I really believe the most important call is when Jesus calls his own. He calls us his children, his son and daughters, and he calls us beloved and blessed. I hope you got some out of this word tonight, because I just want you to know that if you need anything from God, all you have to do is make one call, and that's all. Praise the Lord. I hope you got a word tonight, and we bless everyone. Bless God, bless those that are listening tonight, and again, one call, that's all.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Minister Jones. One call, that's all. I think that we have to make more than one call.
Hallelujah.
But sometimes you got to make another call. But one call, that's all. I tell you, our God is listening for our faintest cry. And so if we make that call, he is going to answer. It may not be what you want to hear, but I guarantee you, he will answer that call. And so we give God glory and give him praise. We thank you so much, you and Emily. We thank you all so much for bringing forth this word on tonight. And we want to hear from our radio audience tonight. We want you to press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you live on the air just to share something that you learned tonight, or if you want prayer or you just want to comment on the word. I just want you to press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you live on the air. All you have to do is press 1. We just give God all the glory, and one main thing is that being obedient to the call and being obedient when God calls us, that we should be obedient when he calls. But a lot of times we don't want to be obedient to whatever it is that God is saying to us. We don't want to be obedient. And you also talked about the fact of hearing the call. Do we really hear the call? Do we really hear God when he's calling us? And most of the time, it's that little still voice that is speaking to us, and we think it's just our own mind, our own thoughts or whatever, when really actually that little still voice is God calling us. And so I just want to say to each one of us that we need to maybe pray more, study more, and so that we can hear the voice of God, because the Bible talks about the fact that we should know his voice and not follow any other voice. And so it's very important that we don't follow another voice. So we want you to press 1 on the phone tonight. We want to hear from you. So press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you live on the air.
Amen. You know, when I heard the topic tonight, one call, that's all. And I thought about, you know, when you get incarcerated, when you get booked, and they put you in that cell, they said, one call, you're allowed one call. And so when I began to think about that, you're in a combined place. You're in a place where you don't want to be. I mean, your freedom is taken away, and you have an opportunity to make one call. Who would you call?
Mm-hmm.
That's something to really think about. Who would you call when you only have
one call?
One call. One call, that's all. Mm-hmm. Who would you call during those times? We were going to call our mamas. Sometimes we want to call our spouse. Sometimes we want to call our best friends. But who would you call? And so when we're living in this life today, and we're on our way to hell, and we are faced with situations where we realize that, hey, I'm on my way to a place I don't want to go. We hear the word. We get convicted, and we hear that there is a place. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's a place that you don't want to go. So who do you call?
Mm-hmm. I call on Jesus.
One call.
Call on Jesus.
That's all.
That's it.
You
Amen.
Got to call Jesus.
Amen.
Our salvation is in our friends. Our salvation is in grandmama. Our salvation is in what Daddy told us. You know, because Daddy's the preacher. But we look to the people to call, but who would you call when all you got is one call? And so
yes.
I want to encourage people tonight anytime we're in any situation, even if you feel like, you know, you're already saved, but things are going bad, you're in a jam, you feel like you can't get out, and you're trying to figure out, who can I call? My brother, he lives at large. He's riding on the 20s, and he's living large. He's doing good. So, but what I need, he can't fix it. My mama, she is well set. She's been saved for a long time. But what I need, mama don't have the answer. Daddy don't have the answer. So in my situation, I got to realize and know, who can I call?
Mm-hmm.
One call.
Jesus.
That's all. So we got to know Jesus is the answer.
He's the answer
for every situation. No matter what you're facing, he is the answer. He is the solution. He has the answer for you, and he's waiting on you.
He got the power.
He's waiting on you to make that call.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. You know, in real life, in the attorneys, they be waiting on you to call them. Ken Nugent is waiting for that one call.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to know that Jesus is also. And while, here's Jesus now. While he's waiting for you to call, guess what he's doing? He's making intercession.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. While he's waiting for you to call him, he's asking the Father, have a little bit more mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Have a little bit more grace. Spare them this time again, because now he's just warning you. They're going to call. They're going to make that call.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you been so trusting somebody that even though somebody, they ain't going to call you,
mm-hmm.
but you say, oh, they're going to call, and that the time has passed, and you
mm-hmm.
still say, they're going to call. So Jesus is at a place where he's saying, Daddy, they're going to call.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to call. Because he know one call. That's all.
That's it.
Amen.
That's
what the good word, man.
Yes.
Good word.
You thank you, sir. You know, I was thinking while you were talking. My dad told me something a long time ago when I was growing up and I was a teenager. He told me why do you keep going to the phone and calling that girl? And I said, well, she's supposed to call at 6 o'clock. She said, well, listen, if it was important to her, she wouldn't forget to call you. So you don't have to keep calling her. And if she didn't answer the phone the first time, why do you keep calling? And it registered to me, like, anything that's important to you, you really don't really forget. And he was saying that if she really wanted to be bothered, she'd have called you by now. And that thing stuck with me, you know. And that was in the natural. That was just something natural. But then when I first got saved, when I was laying in the hospital bed for 7 days, I couldn't call nobody. Couldn't call my dad. Couldn't call my mom. Couldn't call none of my brothers and sisters. Couldn't call my pastor because God wanted me to call on him. And when
That's
I couldn't reach, and this was crazy, when I couldn't reach nobody, I ain't had nobody but to call. God said, okay, what you going to do now? It's just me and
you.
And so when I called on the name of Jesus and I said, Lord, I don't want to die and go to the devil's hell. So if you save me, on August 21st, between 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock of 2004, I'll serve you until I die. And so I had to make that call to him, and it was personal. It wasn't no three-way call. It wasn't long distance. It was personal. And God said, okay, I hear your request. And if I will receive you as my son, you have to receive me as your Lord in Jesus Christ. So I made that call. And it was the best call I made because I see the difference. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Right.
I knew because I grew up in a Christian home, and I knew the difference, and I knew what was right from wrong. But, you know, as young people and as people growing up naturally, we won't be like the prodigal son and go out and test the water. No, we can't swim. And then when we start drowning, we call on Jesus to help us out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, we have to understand that God is sitting and waiting for our call. He really wants to bless us and get us out of all this stuff that we're in, but we're too powerful. We won't say, you know what we'll do? We'll say, you know what, we'll figure it out. Or we'll say, you know what, I got this. I'm going to handle this. But then you find out you can't handle it, and you're right back to where square one, where you started off at first. If you would have called on Jesus, called on the Holy Spirit to help you, he would direct and lead you. And God, and so it keeps us out of a lot of trouble. And a lot of times, like I said, we are we groan because we know what's best for us, and we forget who created us from the beginning. And that call that we make, it changes our life. You know, that commercial where the guy was standing with the little thing in his hand and a bottle of water, and he said, just a couple of drops of this changes everything. But that's what the blood does for us in our lives.
Yes.
Once we receive him as our perfect Savior, the blood changes everything. Amen.
Amen, Lord. That's awesome.
And you know, the call that we have to make, and we're talking about, is not a casual call.
It ain't a casual
call. I heard Bishop Kevin say it's too crucial to be casual.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's right.
When we call the Lord, it's going to be a serious call. It's going to be a call that we need some help. And so this is a dire need. And we see we got somebody in queue. The area code is 757, and the last four digits is 4695. You're now live on the air, caller.
Yes, this is Leroy Jones calling from Virginia. Joe's
hey,
brother.
Man, how you?
Just fine. I just want to say one thing. The blood still works. It'll never lose power. So, Jesus, like I said, when you're in trouble, just call him up. So, again, the blood still works. That it's never going to go out of style, regardless of what people say. Amen. Good job tonight, Joe.
Amen.
That's a good one.
Good
to hear from you,
man. Hey, Pastor Butterfield. You know, my dad told us when we was growing up, right? He said, if you find yourself in jail, don't call him. He said, if you got yourself into it, get yourself out of it. And he was saying he ain't wasting no money. You know, so we couldn't call him if we got in trouble. And you know, some call. Phone calls, when something happened, you know, like I said, I was the last one to get saved. And I couldn't call my brothers and my dad, because when I got in trouble, I couldn't call them because I got in more trouble. So what I did, I just called my best friend's dad, you know. And so we had to know who we can count on and who we can call, because a lot of times we call the wrong people. Let me tell you something, people out there in radio land. Stop calling your girlfriends. Stop calling your homies and asking for the advice, because they knew what to do, and they was wise enough. They would told you what to do before you got into trouble. So evidently, they don't know everything. Because, you know, people tell you in a minute, if I was you, but you ain't me, and you're not in that same situation. Because you're outside looking in. But we made the wrong call to the wrong people. And instead of we calling on Christ and said, Lord, I know I messed up, and I need your help. Tell me what to do. Then God will give you instructions, and then he might say, call this person. But again, we pick up our phone, go straight to our contacts, and call people that only sometimes you don't have a relationship with God, and give us bad advice. And not sound doctrine.
Amen.
And we wonder why we get in trouble all the time.
That's a good point. You know, a lot of times we'll call people who we think just gonna let us slide and do whatever we want to do, and not gonna fuss at you and all of that, not gonna get on you, and not gonna require you to get it right. That's who we'll call. If we know that it's going to, you know, require you to make a change, then we don't want to call them. That's the way God is. Call him. He wants you to make a change. Repent. Mm-hmm. And you can live right. I can answer your prayer, our prayers. So thank God for this word, and if you would just close us out, we would appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Again, we thank all those who listened tonight. Again, we give thanks to God for allowing us, those who are on this radio station and this podcast, to use our gifts. And again, we ask God to bless you all, Sister Butterfield and Pastor Stephen Butterfield. We thank God for you all. And again, tonight, y'all, if you don't remember anything I said tonight, just remember God is waiting for your call. He's always waiting on your call. He's not going to push you. He's not going to prompt you. He's not going to beg you. He's pleading for you. He's your advocate, and he's saying to God, don't let anything happen to him, because we created him, you all, and we know we're waiting for that call. And God is waiting to answer your request. So let us pray before we leave. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you again tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for using me, Lord, to just speak what you've given to me to give to your people, God. And we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, Lord. Whoever is needed to receive this word tonight, Lord, that they will go into their secret closet in their rooms and find a place, Lord, to call on you and ask for repentance. And if they already saved, Lord, ask for forgiveness. And Lord, whatever we have said, done, or thought that's not pleasing in your sight, we all need to repent. And Lord, we thank you for this time of fellowship on this broadcast. God, we ask you to bless us the rest of the day, the rest of this week, the rest of this month, the rest of this year, and the rest of our lives, that we'll continue to do the will of you, and that you will get all the honor and the glory and the praise. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of you, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you all so much. Have a great night. And next Saturday at 8 p.m., dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield.
Have a great night.